Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lentz, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 1:22 through 2:5, called Thorns in Your Side.
So the angel of the Lord says, this is what I did. Don't you remember where you were? I brought you up out of Egypt, the house of slavery. I led you into the land which I swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. This is a covenant I made with you and a covenant you made back to me. You said, all that the Lord says, we will do. And we entered into a marriage at Sinai, and the blood was sprinkled on the people. And they said, yes, yes, yes. And God said, this is what I will do. And they said, this is what we will do. And they made a ketubah in the Hebrew idea of a marriage contract. But from there, it didn't go so well. And through Moses, God said, you're going to go into this promised land. And when you do, here's what I don't want you to do, and here's what you need to do. You need to knock down the high places, the ashram, all of that stuff. You need to get rid of it. Get that stuff out. And the angel of the Lord spoke to them about the promises of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord talks about bringing them into the promised land. And he says these words. This is, just write this down. Deuteronomy 7, 5 through 7. He says, but thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, hew down their ashram, and burn their graven images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers. The Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God. He's the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments. Isaiah 43:1 says, but now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Dropping down to 43:4. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. God made amazing promises to this little group of people who were weak and few in number and didn't really have much to offer, because that's what God delights to do. Amen? He takes the weak things of the world to shame the strong. That's why we're here tonight. So he reminds them and he says, but that's what I did. But as for you too, you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. That's what he said over and over again. You shall tear down their altars. But you've not obeyed me. What is this that you have done? You almost can hear the echo of the voice of God to Adam. What have you done? Did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Well, the woman, right? That you gave me, right? She offered it to me. And the woman, the serpent. And you've heard the old joke, and the serpent didn't have a leg to stand on. You can hear it in the question to Cain. What have you done? Am I my brother's keeper? Well, I hear the voice of your brother's blood crying to me from the ground. What have you done? Can you imagine just for a second? I don't know how this all worked, but the angel of the Lord came up. He came to the place that we believe is Bethel. He addressed the people. The people were swimming in the consequences of not taking the land. And then they get addressed by their leader, their Savior, their Redeemer. Can you imagine if I just sat down right now and our Lord came up to the pulpit and looked at us? And of course, we know that he doesn't condemn us, so I want to be careful here. But if he were to keep a record of our sins, if he were to point out and remind us how far he's brought us, I think we'd start to kind of shrink down a little bit, right? Like, he says, don't you remember what I told you? I told you to drive them out. I told you to tear it down. But you become comfortable in your defeat. You've played patty cake with sin. You negotiated with the Canaanites. I told you not to do that. Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall become, and here's our title, and we're almost done, as thorns in your sides. It may be italicized in some of your Bibles because it's actually in the Septuagint and not in some of the other manuscripts. They shall become as thorns in your sides, but this is repeated from Numbers 33:55. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come about that those who you let remain of them will become as pricks in your eyes, as thorns in your side, and they shall trouble you in the land in which you live. Numbers 33:55. A thorn in your side. So now, I wear contact lenses, and if you ever have your contact lens not sitting right, how many of you are contact lens wearers? Okay. If you have a piece of fiber under it, or it doesn't sit right, you're just like, ah, and your eye can turn quickly red, and you get it out, you know. You ever had a splinter? How many of you men want to admit you had a splinter and you want your wife to help you out? Get it out! Get it out! You sound like a little girl. You know, ah! Masculinity's out the window. How many of you have walked through a spider's web? And you're like, and people don't know what's going on with you. You look like the most bizarre person on the world. What? Is it on me? Get it off! Get it off! Imagine being a person standing there and hearing the Lord say, I'm not driving them out. Good luck. You're on your own. Because we know you've got a lot of bright ideas. I mean, that forced labor idea, wow. Go ahead. Now, the Lord's not going to leave them, but he's going to let them swim in the consequences. Flip over to 8:27 of Judges. Just take a peek ahead. This is an interesting verse, and we'll get to it later in the book. This is under Gideon. Gideon 8:27 made into an ephod, made it into an ephod, and it's here gold that's mentioned in verse 26. Placed it in his city, Oprah. We'll leave that for another sermon as well. So I felt some of you saying, is he going to go there? No. And all Israel played the harlot with it there so that it became a snare to Gideon and his household. Wow. A thorn, a snare. What is that? A pain. Something that is uncomfortable and it's there and you would prefer that it not be, but there it is. They'll become a thorn in your side. Look back in 2:3. Their gods, now we get specific. Their gods shall be a snare to you. It's not that God did not love the Canaanite people, but they chose to worship other gods. And God knew that if Israel imbibed the same practices, they also would end up practicing unspeakable things. Ryken says God adopted a zero-tolerance policy towards the Canaanites and their gods. Their worship was vulgar. It involved sexual promiscuity, child sacrifice, the worship of wood and stone. The Israelite were to totally get rid of all these things, lest they become ensnared by them. I think it's quite obvious the spiritual application to us, don't you? Final two verses. And it came about when the angel of the Lord spoke these words. And we all know the angel of the Lord. Many scholars believe the angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus, second person of the Holy Trinity, prior to his birth at Bethlehem. That should not surprise us. And it was the angel of the Lord, Exodus 3:1, that spoke to Moses, according to Acts 7, verses 30 and 35, through the burning thorn bush.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder you can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk or maybe you're doing the dishes. Anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God, Pastor Michael and the entire Walk in Truth team is here for you. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple podcast app or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded.
Hey there, are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
Their gods shall be a snare to you. It's not that God did not love the Canaanite people, but they chose to worship other gods. And God knew that if Israel imbibed the same practices, they also would end up practicing unspeakable things. Ryken says God adopted a zero tolerance policy towards the Canaanites and their gods. Their worship was vulgar. It involved sexual promiscuity, child sacrifice, the worship of wood and stone. The Israelite were to totally get rid of all these things, lest they become ensnared by them. I think it's quite obvious the spiritual application to us, don't you? Final two verses. And it came about when the angel of the Lord spoke these words. And we all know the angel of the Lord. Many scholars believe the angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus, second person of the Holy Trinity, prior to his birth at Bethlehem. That should not surprise us. And it was the angel of the Lord, Exodus 3:1, that spoke to Moses, according to Acts 7, verses 30 and 35, through the burning thorn bush. It was a thorn bush that Moses stood before when the Lord said, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of Isaac. I'm the God of Jacob. When you send me and I go, what shall I say your name is? I am who I am. Jesus said that in John chapter 8. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the God of the Exodus. I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of the burning thorn bush. I am he. It was Jesus, before he was named Jesus, who led Israel out of Egypt. It was Jesus, before he was named Jesus, who led them through the Red Sea, who delivered them, who instructed them to put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost and lintel. It is Jesus today, rejected by many, many people in Israel, many in the Middle East, many in America. It's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Think of it this way. The rejection of Jesus Christ is the rejection of the God of the Bible. You cannot have the Father without the Son. You can't have the Son without the Father. They all go together. The angel of the Lord, think of it this way. It might be easier to kind of just get it in your soul. The messenger of Yahweh, or Yahweh who is the messenger, you could say it, arrived. And what did he do? The one who instructed them, they were unfaithful to him. You know what he did? He showed up on a starry Bethlehem night to give his life for a disobedient, unfaithful bride. He was wounded for their transgressions. That's Isaiah 53, and you know that's written to Israel, and we're grafted in, so it's for us too. But he was wounded for their transgressions. He was pierced in his side. Talk about a thorn in the side. It wasn't a thorn in the side. It was a sword in the side. Pierced for our transgressions. Pierced with the nails of the crucifixion. Twisted on his head a crown of thorns. We love him because he first loved us. And he might say to them, what more do I have to do to show you I'm on your side, that I'm not going to leave you or forsake you? And he arrives on the scene, and the angel of the Lord says to them, what have you done? Why? And look at what the people do. The angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, that the people, when they heard it, the people lifted up their voices and wept. And so they named the place Bochim, which literally means weepers. And there they sacrificed to the Lord because they knew that they were guilty. So they tried to do like a guilt offering, which, you know, that's fine. That would be a good way to respond. But they cried. He cried over Jerusalem. They cry because they're getting corrected. But I wonder, and tears can be a good sign of repentance, right? I mean, we've often seen that if someone's sincerely coming to Jesus and they see their sin for what it is, often tears are a part of it, and that can be a really good thing. But tears are not always the best indicator of conversion. They can be, but they're not 100%, right? Because after this, the people aren't going to perform so well. So what do their tears mean? Thank you for your mercy. We don't want to use your grace ever as an excuse for our sin, and so we quickly want to say that we celebrate grace, but we also know you want us to be faithful, and you do want us to be vessels fit for the master's use. So Lord, help us to live our lives in gratitude for your faithfulness to the covenant. Even when we are faithless, you are faithful. I pray for that person who is struggling with the Canaanites in their lives. You help them take the appropriate action. Those who may have compromised with bright ideas but haven't really done what they should do, help us with that. Lord, in areas where maybe we feel locked out of our own inheritance, I pray you'll give us hope in those situations and that you'll do what needs to be done to clean that up. As we just think about the different tribes here moving down to, and sometimes when we get some hard truth and we got to look in the mirror and it makes us just want to cry, that would be the beginning of a new beginning for many. And Lord, wherever there's been some gaps in what I've said tonight, would you fill those in with speaking to people by your Holy Spirit and whatever you want to bring to their hearts and minds. I know the room is filled with a bunch of believers tonight, so I thank you for them, and I pray you'll bless them and encourage them. Keep them strong in the Lord and in the strength of your might. For those who may hear this and are not believers yet, my prayer is they will hear your voice and run to the Savior and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Thorns in Your Side, Part 2 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 1:22-5. If you missed any part of today's program, Walk in Truth is on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Listen for free to Pastor Michael's teachings in more books of the Bible. We would also love to hear from you. You can email Pastor Michael with your questions you may have from his teachings today, or maybe you have a question about something else, or need encouragement, or prayer. Maybe you'd like to share how Pastor Michael's teachings have affected you. You can email Pastor Michael at contact@walkintruth.com. That's contact@walkintruth.com. You can also find our mailing address on walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
Well, brothers and sisters, we are closing out the week here at Walk in Truth. I pray you've been blessed as we've been diving into the book of Judges, and we're going to have more for you as we'll deal with some sections in the book as we did in 1 and 2 Kings. And the book of Judges has a lot to say to us. And one, you know, relevant passage that shows up multiple times in the book is there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And when everybody does what's right in his own eyes, it seems like it's the college campus of America right now, frankly. Sometimes I see interviews and I'm like, oh my goodness. And a lot of our young people, not all of them, there are some shining examples of solid young people in our church culture and otherwise. But I do see the confusion over absolute truth and objective truth and these sorts of things. And it seems like when everybody is hearing this message that there's nothing objective, it's all subjective, well, then we get chaos, right? And we called this overall series in the book of Judges, God in the Midst of Chaos. He can even work in chaotic times. And that's the positive as we close out the week in a tough section in the book of Judges. God can work in chaotic times. In fact, chaotic times might cause many more to turn to the Lord. And that's what we want to see. And of course, we need to be telling people he is our hope. We need to give it a defense for the hope that we have. We need to tell people that their thorns, even if they're self-created, self-inflicted, can be removed. God can put the salve of the gospel on them. And as we end our week, I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus Christ who took the nails in his hands and his feet? He wore a crown of thorns on his head, not because he was guilty, but because he was taking the punishment that we deserved. That ugly crown of thorns twisted into his holy brow. Those terrible nails driven into his hands and his feet, that sword that went into his side, that spear, all for love, my friend. Maybe you've stumbled on Christian radio. Maybe at this very moment you have changed the channel and here you are. And you're saying, what is this all about? Here's what this is about. It's about a cross, a lonely figure on a cross. It's about God the Son with that crown of thorns and that pierced body and the blood that was shed for you and for me. Do you know him? Maybe you need to recommit your life to him right now. Maybe you've created some thorns or some misery in your life by walking away. Or maybe you've never met him before. You've been kind of a secret listener to Christian radio, but here you are. It's time to make him your king. He can quiet the chaos. He can give you shalom, which means he'll destroy the chaos in your life. He'll give you peace, his peace. Not the world's peace, his. Do you know him? You might say, Pastor Michael, how do I do that? What step should I take? Cry out to him. He's been knocking on the door. That's why you're listening right now. Tell him, Lord Jesus, I believe you're the King. I believe you're God. I believe you died on that terrible cross for my sin. You took the punishment I deserved. I believe you resurrected from the dead, just as you said you would. I repent. I trust you as my Lord and my Savior. Teach me how to live for you. Let me be born again into your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
And come back tomorrow for Pastor Michael's son, Pastor Shane's teaching in Judges 10, called The Cycle of Misery.
Our boast is in God. It's not in our own abilities or our own accomplishments. In fact, what you see all throughout the scripture is that as soon as pride starts to take root in the hearts of men and women who God's trying to use, things fall apart really quickly, don't they? Because pride separates us from God. Pride is the thing that keeps us living in sin. Pride is the thing that will drive a deeper and deeper wedge between us and the ones that we love the most. When a marriage is not working out and a couple comes in for marriage counseling, you can almost bet every time that both of them are being prideful in some way, shape, or form. Both of them are unwilling to look at their own lives and say, you know what? Maybe I'm not as great as I think I am.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.